Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 129 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this will be program number 231. Again, if you'd like a copy of it, any of our programs, you can share them to tell you four different ways that you will be able to get a hold of us to get one. They're free of charge. Postage and handling is taken care of also by us. We have some letters this evening, and a real good message from the throne of God, powerful message. And, you know, the Lord is my everything. And a friend of mine wrote a song called He's My Sunshine, but he's so much more than just my sunshine. He's my everything. He's my deliverer. He's my savior. He's my everything. Anyway, I sang the song, He is my sunshine. He's my sunshine. And here I am singing it for you. Recorded in Nashville, Tennessee.
He's my sunshine in the morning. He hung the moon and stars in my sky. And if I ever lost
sunshine. We have another song that I'm going to be singing for you right at the end of this program. Let's go up to the throne now of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we thank and praise Your holy, wonderful name for being our sunshine and being our Savior and being our Creator and being our Deliverer, being our Kingdom of Heaven, being the one who has redeemed us from out of the slimy pit and out of the pit of hell, and so many other things, Father. Lord, I ask that You anoint me in this service today. Let everything that is done be expressly from You. Let Your word reign in this world as it really does in heaven. And Lord, it's coming to pass real soon. We know that in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, it tells us that, you know, people talk about the earthquakes, the famines, the wars, the rumors of wars as being signs of the end time, but these are only the beginning of sorrows. But the real end comes when the gospel is preached everywhere in the world. And it's just a shame, Father, that the people in the world don't get a hold of Your message and preach it throughout the world, because it's up to us to, for Your speedy return. The more we get the gospel out, the sooner it is going to be that You will return. So Lord, I pray that many souls, however many You want to be saved, by whatever You say in this message through me today, we'll be saved, and that the church will be strengthened, that your return will be very soon. it's up to us as to when you're going to come. Let everybody get this burden from your word, Lord, and we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, the thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, strengthen the church. Edify the entire earth with your word and put the fear of God in everyone, because this is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is even the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where is the first letter from?
From Zambia.
Okay, Zambia. Where's that at?
In Africa.
Norway? Zambia. Okay, Africa. All right, what else?
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the coming King. How is your ministry? By faith, I know that you are prospering in your ministry because God is in control.
Amen.
Back to me, everything is fine. I thank God for your ministry, which reached me. Your literature has blessed me. Pastor, just from the time I read your literature, in my heart I have been changed, and it shall be good news to you that I have received Jesus Christ into my life to be King.
Amen.
Thanks very much for your ministry, because I just thought that going to church, joining in the youth group, and doing work at church would save me and I would enter heaven. Thanks to the living God for knowing and for his care. Thanks to God that I have known the truth. I say thanks to you for your work that you are doing worldwide, and God bless you and your ministry. Pastor, it is my desire and prayer that by his power I will follow and serve him. Pastor, I am asking you to send me a Bible and some of your literature so that I can also help people at this place to come to know Jesus Christ. It's my heart's desire that you make me to be your distributor here by serving God. I'm looking forward to hearing from you and receiving Bibles and literature. Yours faithfully, Emmanuel from Mbala, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's the next letter from?
From India.
All right. What part of India?
From...
Can you pronounce it?
Ramakrishnapuram, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh.
No wonder you just said India. Well, people that live there know how to say it. Amen.
Amen.
Then what else? And, you know, maybe we'll have to send you over there so that you learn how to do it real well, huh? Learn how to spell it and say it. All right. Anybody else want to go to Africa or India? We're willing to send you. Okay, then what?
Respected Pastor and dear brother Tony Alamo, Calvary greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to you and all in your holy ministry. I am so excited to find a person like you in his ministry, whom I am dreaming of and praying for our Lord to introduce me in reality. Praise the Lord. Your literature are the leaflets fallen from heaven of our Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of my Old Testament class some years back, where a professor I admired in a question hour after a class in prophets kept forth the question, "Do prophets exist still?" Many replied no, some were quiet. Only I remember said yes. Then again he asked, "Well then, who are they?" The whole class was so silent, and I responded without any hesitation, "Why couldn't it be I?" He looked so deeply into my eyes, that answer of mine, on that day it was only to underline the fact that prophets do exist, and the true answer for that I could find only when I read some of your literature sent to me by your office, and undoubtedly that's you, dear brother, and Prophet Tony Alamo. God bless you. We are on a camp ministry to villages called Bodapalam, Chandrapali, Nandor, Patapalam, and we received your letter, and I'm sending some sample photos of how we use the donation that you sent. At a medical camp for the poor, we distributed rice and books and to some orphans during our camp ministry. God bless you abundantly for all that you are doing for him. I shared your gospel literature to many during this camp ministry who said they have not heard before such godly, easy-to-understand scripture. Praise the Lord. Beware of the Pope really enlightened some youth and women attending RCM as they repented. Hallelujah. And the witness of Touch Me or Die has touched some waiting for complete healing by some others' prayers. Your writings are the way and the truth to attain everlasting life. God bless you. I need all the available literature in Telugu and some Bibles immediately to distribute. I am eagerly waiting. Please send them at your earliest. Your literature titled, Jesus Never Said, My God, Why Have You Forsaken Me, answered my worrying question and I am relieved of that pain after getting to know of that valuable explanation for which the Lord shall bless you abundantly. The real thing, the real deal, fairly and clearly explains Jesus Christ's Lordship. God bless you, and by all those who can understand how much time you spend in the Word. Your writings are for the Lord, of the Lord, and by the Lord. Please do remember this brother in your ministry and allow me to be your co-worker if God permits. We are suffering a lot, and the health of me and my spouse needs a lot of treatment and prayers due to ministering in some remote places for a long time. Remember me more in your prayers. I want bundles of your literature, awaiting for your blessed early reply amidst your very busy scheduled ministry. God bless you more and more. We are praying for you. We love you. In Christ, Samson from Ramarasakapuram, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. And where is the next one?
From Ghana. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, the Lord of Heaven has given me this great pleasure to write you this very day. The main reason why the living God blesses you and your ministry is your literature has changed my life and many people's lives in my community. A friend of mine gave me the literature. Since I read it, it has changed my life, and also this thing has been moving on good for me and my friends. I have been reading with my friends and the unknown people, and the people that I give the literature to read it, and it has changed their lives, and they have been serving God. Those that did not go to church are now going to church. I have been organizing my friends and teaching them about the Word of God and His creatures, but I don't have a Bible to continue the teaching. Please, I request for a Bible and more of your literature so that we can move forward. Please, I need more of your literature, and also for it to help us to know more about God. We need your help to move forward. Since I got the literature and have been teaching my friends, things have been moving on smoothly for us. I also thank you for your great job. May the living God bless you and your ministries, in addition, your family. May the Father of Heaven give you long life. Yours in Christ, Felix from Darkuman, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. May God give you long life and bless you every day of your life as well, and I know He will. All right. So long as we continue on in Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, Sharon, let's begin.
When Adam and Eve tried to free themselves from God's authority, they ran smack dab into Satan.
Right. See, people have been called and chosen, like Adam and Eve, and people like Samson, and the people of Israel. And one in the book of Judges, one time after the other, Israel was went astray. And God began cursing them. And then they cried out to the Lord. And God heard them, and then He delivered them. One of the judges that the Lord raised up was Samson. His father, Manoah, and his mother was barren at that time. And she prayed for a child. And the Lord said that this child would begin to deliver Israel, and he did, from the Philistines, because they were in bondage to them for 40 years because of their sins. To the these are the Palestinians today. Read that. We read this yesterday in the service from chapter 13 of Judges. Read the first verse.
Okay. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah, well, we can't. And then what?
And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years.
So if you're under oppression, your leader may have led you there because you listened to him, and all Israel was listening to bad leadership for sure. And so they started crying out to the Lord, and then God brought Samson forth. This man was really highly anointed. He was anointed from before he was even born. He was anointed in his mother's womb. The mother was told by the Lord what he would do, that he would begin to deliver Israel. And he went astray. He had to pay for it. At the end of his days, he was grinding meal, grinding grain in the Philistines, the place where they were grinding the grain, where they would grind it. And they put his eyes out. And he could have delivered Israel, completely delivered them, but the Lord knew that he was going to fall before that time, and that he would have to pay for his deeds. So he delivered Samson in the hands of Israel because he cared more about this woman than he did for the commandment that the Lord had given him. And in the end, though, he prayed to God and got forgiveness. This should help people that have served the Lord for a few years or a lot of years, and then they've fallen away. But in the end, this should show that there still is hope, because he was mentioned in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews as being one of the greats. And therefore, I believe that God allowed him to repent. He cried out to God and got forgiveness. But one thing he did know, that he had to get back to serving the Lord. He can't just say a little prayer, "Oh God, forgive me," and that's the end of it, any more than Adam and Eve could just say, "Oh Father, forgive us," and he would allow them to stay in the Garden of Eden and would not allow them to die. But he did put them out of the Garden of Eden, and they did die, and they suffered greatly, and so did Samson. And he could have done much more than he did, but the thing that God prophesied is that he would begin to deliver Israel, and that he did complete that particular prophecy that the Lord told of him, that he began to do it. Amen?
Amen.
And so that should encourage people that have, some of them that have gone astray for a while. But it should show people, too, that it may not be too late for you to get back to the Lord, because the Bible tells us that the Lord loves us. And, you know, it also shows the same thing in the book of Judges, where the Lord, the whole nation of Israel, with the exception of a few prophets, did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and when they cried out to God, God delivered them. But now, after we've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is in us, those people were not endued with Jesus in them, with the Father by the Holy Spirit. And so if people continue sinning, and just not paying any attention to the things that the Lord has called them to do, and they just live life foolishly as Samson did. And here God had given the entire earth the rulership, power and dominion over the earth and over every creature to Adam and Eve, and they failed the Lord. But he put them through the fire, he put them out, and in the end, they were saved. But this doesn't mean there's eternal security. They fasted and prayed and got a hold of God, and were exceedingly sorry for what they had done, and they knew that they had been kicked out of the most glorious place on the face of this earth. It was like heaven on earth, the Garden of Eden. And it's just so tragic to have your eyes put out. And there's people that once knew the Lord and they're not serving him, and now God has sent cancer their way, leukemia. They foolishly begin wanting to serve under the rule of the one world government, and they enlist and go over there to kill people, thinking they're defending our nation. The nation's leaders are not defending us. they are puppets of Rome, and it's just a sad thing that they're doing that, because they continue on in sin, and they're not like Adam and Eve or Samson or many others, or all of Israel, that decided to repent and begin serving the Lord again. In Samson's death, he destroyed more Philistines than he did all the rest of it, all the beginning of his life up to that point, because he prayed to God that God would help him to begin to deliver Israel. Okay, now what else do we have here?
Our resistance to others ruling over us is also due to the spirit of leadership over ourselves.
God put, it says, rulers, and that's an innate nature in us, that we are rulers, and we forget that we've fallen away from the power of God, or what people call the grace of God, or the King James Version says the grace of God. Grace of God means the power of God. It says Christ brought power and truth. Moses brought the law, which cannot save your soul, but Jesus brought power and truth of God. Power of God and the truth of God. So if Christ with the Father by the Spirit were living in Samson on a continuous basis, he would not have failed. But in the fullness of time, after everyone in the world has seen it, doesn't make any difference what king ever existed before Jesus, that every one of them failed, including David and Solomon, King David. So, but Christ never failed. And so we can't say, well, David sinned, and why can't we? Because David didn't have the power of God. He didn't have Christ living in him with the Father by the Spirit. Neither did Solomon. And neither did Samson. Now, Adam and Eve, that's a different story. They had eternal life. Now, God wants to restore that eternal life into you and into every creature on earth. And in order for that to happen, you must obey him. And he, Jesus, is the Word of God. So we have to obey the Word of God. All right, continue on.
Our resistance to others ruling over us is also due to the spirit of leadership over ourselves
that we once had over ourselves. Now, those of you that don't have power or leadership over yourselves in the world, it's only because that you don't have the power and the truth of God living in you. Once the power of God and the truth of God is in you, then you have power over yourself. And this is the first power we must have in order to be able to have power over of the whole world. Leadership over every creature. All right? Say what?
God placed that spirit of leadership in us when he created us.
He did originally, and then they lost it when they fell away from the Lord, when they disbelieved God. He departed from them, and they knew it, because they started hiding from God when they used to love to come to him and speak to him and have him talk to them. They communed one to another. All right, then what?
God's purpose was for us to rule over the created order as vice regents under his authority. God created us for that purpose and put something in us that appropriates that sort of spirit and innate ability to fulfill our destiny.
Right, and that something that he put in us is himself. So, okay, then what else?
But woe be unto the Christians who believe that they are not to listen to those who have the rule over them, because the Word of God states, quote, obey them that have the rule over you,
right,
unquote.
And so the reason that people don't have rule over themselves is because they're unruly. In order for you to become a leader or a ruler, you must first be a follower. In order to be a leader, you must follow first. That goes with any kind of profession as well, especially the Lord. What else?
That was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And this means that these that he's talking to are not developed. They're not mature. Many people try to raise themselves up because of their human nature to rule over the authorities. Any disobedience to the authorities of God are considered ungodly by the Lord. Even in the Roman Empire, not everyone are kings. Pontius Pilate and Caesar were the kings. All the rest were subjects, and remember that the Roman Empire fashioned their empire or their kingdom after Satan, who knew how the kingdom of heaven was put in place, because Satan at one time was Lucifer, and he was there.
He once lived in the kingdom of heaven as Lucifer, and so he knew the order of things. So he put together a makeshift imitation of that which is in heaven, here on earth. Okay, then what?
So Satan put together a fake kingdom here, which was in fact the Roman Empire.
Which still is the Roman Empire. It's the world power today. The Lord tells us that it's Satan's seat is in Rome, the city of the seven hills, or the seven mountains. Then what?
The sinful nature of Satan living in people who are disobedient to God distorted and exaggerated that spirit, pushing it beyond the bounds that God intended. We have a natural tendency to resist all authority. And I see very, very clearly this includes God's authority. One reason...
Yes, because there is no authority but the Lord. And people that are in authority are not... in other words, God had put Satan in authority over God's people. He put them in the hands of the Philistines. That doesn't mean that the Philistines were the people of God or that they had authority. He put them under them because they had authority to buffet the Israelites. And God puts disease over you, or pestilence, some kind of pestilence. There's all kinds of the different diseases today. Epidemics of heart disease, cancer, leukemia, all these things. So he puts those things to rule over you, and you have to obey them. But if you're in the Spirit, if you have the Lord living in you, then he is your authority, and he reigns in you as the authority on this earth. The continuation of the Lord's place here on earth, his incarnation. He lives again on earth in you, and in myself, and others. But as you see, just that one, I just picked one scripture that says that. There's hundreds of scriptures that say, because the people of Israel or this person did wickedness or evil in the eyes of the Lord, God then turned them over to their enemies. And your enemy is sickness, disease, infirmities. Your enemies really is the Roman Catholic Satanic Empire. He puts Satan over you in hopes that you'll get sick and tired of Satan and stop wanting to serve him. In other words, do what you like to do and not submit yourself under the authority of the Lord. And if there's problems in your life, if I were you, I would examine my lifestyle and see what it is that I'm doing wrong, and then correct it and judge yourself by the Word of God. Now, the Word of God says that we must judge all things by the Word of God. It says, judge no man. What that means is, don't you judge any man with your judgment. And you see all kinds of people in the world that judge with their own judgment. They say, oh, this ministry, that ministry or this ministry, all kinds of ministries are phonies. A lot of them are. But how do you judge those ministries? I judge them by what they say and the things that they do. If you don't know somebody, and if you don't know what they're doing, as far in, or if you think they're doing something wrong, study the Bible to see if what they're doing is wrong. Because if what they're doing is approved in the Bible, then you are judging with your own judgment in the world's judgment, and you're completely bypassing the judgment of the Lord. Now the Lord said, thou shalt not eat from this tree, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve used the judgment of Satan. And that's why everything is now under the power of Satan, with the exception of those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now you have to make a choice. And I pray that you will not be as Adam and Eve was, or Samson, or the children of Israel, or that, you know, the Lord raised up Pharaoh. The Lord raised up Titus, King Titus, to destroy Jerusalem. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar because the children of Israel had sinned for 70 years. And he put them in bondage, under that regime for 70 years. And then they cried out to God when they had enough of it, and the Lord sent a deliverer. So don't say that these plagues that are coming down on earth are not coming from the Lord. Read the Bible, look at what sin really is, and then check it out whether you're doing those sins or not. And then you may discover that you're sinning very much, and you may also discover that you're not serving the Lord the way He wants you to. He doesn't command you to go to church and clap your hands and sit there and warm the pews, but He tells you to serve Him in many ways, to walk in the Spirit. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. You must have Christ living in you, and His Father, and the Holy Spirit. And in this way, you are made perfect. Now, the Bible says that the world has been deceived because, and they're sinners. And they're saying now, these false prophets, He warns us to don't pay any attention to them. Go to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew so that you can see, I believe it's verse 17 that tells us when the end really will come. Start reading from verse 1.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
And the reason for that is God is going to send King Titus of Rome to destroy everything that the Jews have. And then they're going to be dispersed all over the world, and they wouldn't come back for centuries. And they just recently came back after all this time as an end time sign from the Lord that they would be returned to their homeland just before Christ comes back to earth again. But there's other things that are going to happen on top of that before Christ comes back to earth again. So read on.
And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?
So right there they knew that He was going to die and that He's going to come back again. But they saw Him die and they lost their faith. But 3 days after, when they saw that He had risen, then their faith was restored. And they were willing to die for Him after that. Okay, but anyway, back on to end time signs. It's very important for us to know what the end time signs are, that we're extremely close to it. Go ahead.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you.
Yeah, in other words, he's talking about false prophets. Oh, you're going to be raptured out of all this. There's no such thing as a rapture. The way that these false prophets put those scriptures together are so wicked, so evil. All right, then go ahead.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Okay, so he says, you see wars and rumors of wars, you see earthquakes, pestilence, all these different things. But that doesn't mean that the end is yet. Amen?
Amen.
So to take heed, you know, how you listen to these words of Jesus. He's telling you when the end will be, then what?
For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And
okay, that's happening right now, yes, and it's happened before. But still, that's not the sign of the end. Okay? But he's leading up to it. Then what?
And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
Well, that's happened before, but that's still not the end. Then what?
All these are the beginning of sorrows.
It's just the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, what verse is that?
That was 8.
Keep calling out the verses when you read them.
Okay.
Then what?
Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Well, see, that's happened for years now. And especially today, we're hated of all nations. In the Muslim nations, they'll put you to death if you're a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And look at how President Clinton and this his administration put those people to death at Waco. Christians. Never harmed anybody. And they've done everything. They took all of our properties away and name-called us, said every kind of evil thing on the face of this earth. Accuse us of the most incredible things, of having underground tunnels and that we're using slave labor and things like this. None of these things are the truth. Of course, you know, how are you going to lock against a liar? You can lock against a thief, but you cannot lock against a liar. They can just say anything they want because they run the media. And they just put that in people's brains. And of course, we knew that it would happen, and that's why when it does happen, it doesn't throw my soul, all right? And they would do what? Hate us?
Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Well, look at all the nations. My literature is banned in Canada. It's banned in Australia. It's banned in many different countries. And they hate. They say such wickedness. You know, you can show hate other than just saying, I hate you. That isn't, but I mean, I've seen the hatred of people actually firing guns at you and spitting on you and all the things, you know, that the Lord says will happen. And they'll throw you in prison on false charges, and it just goes on and on and on. But I'm not complaining, you know, because the kingdom of heaven and eternity in heaven is so much more worth the little sufferings that we go through here on earth. Beaten for the gospel, stoned for the gospel, you name it. And people just breathing out, not allowing you to have credit cards and all of this, which is fine with me because when you have a credit card, everybody knows everything that you're buying and whatever, so I don't really even want them. The thing is they hate of every nation. Well, how is it every nation? Because it's the United Nations. It's like almost every nation in the world now. And they despise the gospel. They despise the Jews because the Jews are the ones that wrote these words, the Bible, that this government hates, this one world government hates so much. And here President Bush is building shrines and unto this satanic cult in Rome. In Washington, D.C., there's actually monuments that he has built. And all the presidents have given their allegiance to Rome, to the Vatican. And the Bible says that this Vatican is Satan's seat, that it sits in Rome. There's nothing else in Rome that I see that even resembles anything of what God calls the Antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
And so these are the ones that have constantly persecuted the people of the Lord. It was the Roman soldiers, soldiers that had the rule over Israel at the time, that nailed Jesus to the cross. The Jews said, "Let us." The unsaved Jews said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." Well, because of that, the Jews were cursed for around 2,000 years. But God stated that in the end times, just before he comes back to earth again, he would disperse them into all the nations of the world. And just before he comes back to earth again, he would bring them back to Israel. And that's why, and that happened in 47 and in 48. Now they just have a little strip, and it's like every nation in the world. United States is pretending to be the friend of Israel, and they give them, I think it's around $4 billion a year, which is nothing in comparison to what they give Israel's and Christians, what they give to our enemies. They give them billions upon billions of dollars. And little old Israel is just sitting over there, and God is going to show his biceps over there very soon. Those people, once God starts putting his power behind them, you've got to watch out for them, because they're the world's greatest fighters. Amen?
Amen.
And God send the Jews into these different parts to destroy the Africans that were in the Canaan land, was once Africa. He sent them in there because those people over there were sinning. They were idolaters. They were sacrificing their own children. And even though they are creations of God, and God loves them, he has to punish them just like he punishes his chosen people, the Jews. And so he allowed them, many of them, to be killed. He opened up the earth one time and swallowed a bunch of Jews into the pit of hell when they were alive. And so God punishes people. What kind of a God would it be? The Bible says that he chastens those that he loves. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, actually he loves President Bush, and he loves those people in Rome and the administration, but he hates what they're doing. So if they just stop doing what they're doing, stop sinning, well, God will shower them with his love, just as he does everyone. So you people in the administration better stop lying, you better stop killing, you better stop persecuting the Jews and persecuting the Christians, and fighting the Bible, trying to do away with it. And ACLU, I know what you're up to. God sees everything you're doing, and he talks to me. You people are just another goon squad of the Vatican, bringing hatred against the Christians. I mean, you're telling people they can't have a Bible in the public square and all this stuff. Then, you know, Israel, as I mentioned the other day, are the government, and they are we here in the New Jerusalem, that's what we are. The body of Christ is actually the New Jerusalem. We are the actual authority, if you want to call it the secular authority in the kingdom of heaven, which it isn't secular. It is, we handle all the governmental things and all the spiritual things. So in the Word of God, it tells that there is no separation between church and state, that we are to have our own government, that we are to judge our own people because we judge with righteousness. We would never send anybody to death if they really didn't deserve it. And yet we take people to this secular law down here, and they let them go, and they send innocent people to prison. So that shows it's Satan's government. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's read on here, because I want to get to what is the sign of the end time? All right?
Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another.
That's happened. We have had people in my own church that were offended because you tell them that you've got to give up your former life, that's to surrender your life, to utterly annihilate it, just forget about it, and let the Lord's life live in you. And when you tell them that they can't sin anymore, they're very offended. And so what they do is make up stories about you. They're going to court and tell that you have two sets of books and all this kind of stuff. I don't have time to really even keep, if I didn't have a staff, to keep one set of books, let alone I don't mess with the bookwork anymore. I train people how to do books, and we do it on the up and up, and our books are always open to anybody that wants to see them. If they have business in seeing them, and I'm not ashamed of it. We save have recorded everything that we spend, and all the earned, everything that comes in. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Right, you talk about false prophets. In Rome, the Bible says that this satanic organization is run and given its power by that great red dragon, the devil. And the administration, these people are false prophets. The news media is false prophets. The religious order, all these religious orders are false prophets. You say, well, there's so much confusion. Who should we listen to? Get the King James Version of the Bible and read it. That's who you're to listen to, is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And no one else. Then what?
Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Right, because there's so much sin, the love to serve the Lord, love is the keeping of God's commandments. Love is to serve the Lord, to believe his word and do it. He said, so that's all wax cold. You can see that the people here in the United States have got so much luxury that they don't want to turn their back on that in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's why the people in Africa, they don't have much, and they know that their very existence depends on God. And there's a lot of people like that. So the Lord tells us to go into the highways and hedges and go to the vagabonds and to go to the bums on the street and to go to the people, because God called all these righteous people and they refused to come. So the Lord says, go to everybody else, the sinner, and bring them into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they gladly come in. All right, then what?
Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Right, so, you know, we're hated. So what? You know, I hate Satan too. You hate my father, and I hate yours. And you say, well, I thought you didn't hate. Oh, no. I don't hate human beings, but I hate the devil that is living in and through them. And you hate the Lord God that lives in and through me. So, you know, there's a standoff here, and it's not a godly and satanic standoff here. And I tell you, I know the Bible, and I know who's going to win in the end. And it's not you. It's us. It's already written. How can you be so stupid? Edgar Bergen told Mortimer Snerd. He said, well, it's not easy. I guess it's not easy for you to be so stupid, huh? Okay, then what?
Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Okay, that's the end time. Read that again.
And this gospel of the kingdom.
Now it's not this gospel of what?
The kingdom.
The kingdom of heaven, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Shall be preached in all the world for a witness.
In all the world for a witness for you people out there. And we're on shortwave over there overseas, and that's what everybody listens to over there. As a witness to you, then what?
Unto all nations.
Unto all the nations. And I believe we're in every nation. Then what?
And then shall the end come.
And then only shall the end come. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what it says. Okay, that's the sign of the end. When shall the end come, they're asking him. And it's right there. What verse is that?
14.
verse 14. Chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 14. Okay, now let's get back to this. Now, you know, with there's a lot of false Christianity in the world today, and they say, well, the gospel's being preached all over the world. But a lot of it is false. They say that God loves you unconditionally. That is false. He says with everything that God does, there's a condition. Everything he gives us, there's a condition to it. Amen?
Amen.
All of God's ways are judgment. All of God's ways for us are conditional. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe the whole word of God, and then you shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
You can't twist this word. All these people yelling and screaming, oh man, they got earthquakes. This is the end of time right now. No. And the gospel is preached all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
One reason that so many people experience frustration in life is because their environment has changed. They were created to rule their lives according to God's commandments in their environment.
Well, they were created for God to live in them so that he could give them power so that they could rule over their lives. Amen?
Amen.
But it's his rulership over us that causes us to be able to be successful and to prosper greatly. Amen?
Amen.
Just what he told Joshua. You know, do what I'm telling you to do and don't go to the left or right, and then thou shalt prosper greatly. And in every way, told the same thing to Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But instead, they live in a world where they are ruled by their own pride, lust, passion, greed, and selfishness. They are dominated by the adversary, Satan, the author of sin and the instigator of humanity's downfall.
And he's the author of confusion. He just comes to kill and destroy and to murder. That's all he wants, is to destroy your soul, to murder your soul, to kill your soul. Then what? He doesn't have any love for you at all. He loves to hate you. But God loves you. And he come unto me, he says, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. I'll give you Sabbath. In other words, just go to sleep and in me, and just let me live in you. I want to live out my life. I want to be the continuation of my incarnation here on earth. I want you to do that for me. I gave my body for you, now give your body to me so I can do my thing here on earth as it is in heaven. And if you don't, you're never going to make it into heaven. I see my time is up. And so therefore, I'm going to say you can begin enjoying the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven when the kingdom of heaven is preached all over the world. What is the purpose that God is calling you for now? That's for you to preach to the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you've got to help do that. The sooner you help do that, the sooner the Lord's going to come back. Amen?
Amen.
If everybody started preaching the kingdom of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's when the Lord comes back. Amen?
Amen.
And it's everywhere. So you get saved, repent, and for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, let the Lord live in you, and you get grounded in the word, and I'll send you to the utmost parts of the world to preach this gospel so that we can get Jesus back here sooner. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the first step is to ask the Lord to enter into you and to forgive you of all your filthy sins. So just say this prayer to him, and he will listen to you, and he will answer you, and he will enter you right now. And don't be afraid of the Lord. The Lord is your creator. He's your Savior. He's not going to hurt you. Just say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit that was living in him. I open up the door of my heart and invite you in, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And if you want a copy of this program, Program 231, Sharon will tell you four ways how to receive it right now.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And there's another song that I promised that I would sing for you right now. And what's the name of this song?
The Days We Let Slip By.
The Days We Let Slip By. In other words, if you're not doing something for the Lord, you're letting all the days slip by that you could be getting rewards for. So listen to it.
Like robins in the springtime, when a day is come and gone, it is then a part of eternity and time. The days we let slip by forever, while we're putting off what we can do tomorrow for us. The days we let slip by, we'll never live how much we should have cared.